John the Baptist, clad in camel and leather, eating honey and locust bugs, albeit kosher bugs. My imagination adds a little bit of crazy hair and a little bit stinky as well. He's straight talking, like your family member or your friend who always says exactly what you do not want to hear because it is true and uncomfortable. And honestly, I didn't want to deal with John the Baptist this second Sunday of Advent as we prepare for Christ's birth again. His words are strange, and sometimes I feel weary hearing him. Narratively, he doesn't make sense. According to the Gospel of Luke, he is only 6 months older than Jesus, whose birth we are preparing for. Spiritually, however, John the Baptist does make sense, as these words, his words and life, can prepare us to celebrate Christ's birth again. John the Baptist, his first words today are repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He is in the present tense, the here, the now. His words are as much for us today as for the people listening to him on the side of the Jordan. He continues that he is preparing for the coming of the Lord. He is preparing others with the baptism of repentance. Repent. It is a word that sounds guilty to me, and so I feel my walls going up when I hear it. Although repentance is an honest assessment of our lives, where we fall short of God's kingdom, it is also, and maybe more importantly, how we can turn our lives towards God. How we can turn our lives towards the attitudes and actions that grow from seeing God's realm here and now on earth. Repentance is to turn. Repentance is to reorient. John the Baptist reminds us that repentance is not primarily about our moral worthiness, but rather about God's desire to realign our lives with Christ's life. Repentance is not so much about our feelings of guilt or shame or lack of worthiness, as about God's power to transform each and every one of us into the image of Christ. Repentance this Advent is about creating space for God to be able to work in our lives. So how do we turn? How do we reorient ourselves to God and allow that space for God to work? Examining my initial hesitance to this strange, odd prophet, John the Baptist, was at least the answer for me this Advent. In eighth grade, about 2 decades ago, I played hockey. This was a time in which hockey culture here in Minnesota was just beginning to include girls and women. And there were many growing pains along the way. My future high school, Edina, did not yet have a girls' varsity hockey team. My eighth grade teammates and I realized that if we wanted to play in high school, we were going to be the only ones who made that happen. And so with the help of our parents, we approached the school board. We spoke. We listened to the very vocal other side as well. We heard them say that Edina did not have enough ice time for a new team, and our team would put undue hardship on the existing boys' teams. We campaigned. After 2 very contentious school board meetings, they voted. 4-2-3. We had our team. I remember the elation and went on to play 4 years with that team, 3 as the penalty leader. I also remember as clearly the one woman on the school board who voted against the team. I felt betrayed by a fellow female in what to me was an issue of gender equality. It was whispered that she had 2 sons on the varsity boys team or who wanted to be on the team, and so did not vote for us. However, because her vote was different from mine, I never asked her directly. Instead, she became completely two-dimensional to me, only the woman who voted against us. A year or two later, my good friend Rob and I were taking a walk, and he mentioned that his family was spending the upcoming holiday with this woman. I was shocked. This woman had become so two-dimensional in my mind that I could not comprehend her spending social time, let alone a holiday with someone I loved and respected. I had to reassess, and it was humbling. Because of our differing views, I had left the metaphorical table. It was easy. We'd won. It was not holy. It did not allow space for God to move and work in my life. It didn't matter to me if she had anything wise to say at that point, because I was so wrapped up in my caricaturing, I would not have been able to hear. And I was also not able to share how the team would go on to shape me in myriad wonderful ways. John the Baptist reminds us that wisdom comes from people whose words can be hard to hear. People who are on the edges of the communities that we live in. He reminds us that wisdom comes from everyday people, everyday prophets, who are often not the loudest, not the shiniest, sometimes similar to us and often different, and frequently not the person we want to talk to. He reminds us that repentance is all about a stance of curiosity to where God is working in all people's lives, even difficult people. It is opening ourselves to others that we make that room for God to transform us. This is hard, holy, continual, lifelong work. One of the most helpful sermons I heard recently on bridging the gap to those who we are divided from was given by the Reverend Jennifer Baskerville Burroughs. She is the bishop-elect of the Diocese of Indianapolis. She spoke at our convention in the fall. She gave us three verbs: eat, listen, repeat. She encouraged us to eat with others, especially those who are different from us, to listen deeply as you share a meal with them. And I would add, share your own story respectfully. And after you said your goodbyes, repeat. Eat, listen, repeat. This Advent, as you decide whom to invite, where to go, what stories to share, repent. Create the space for God to transform you into Christ's image.